Hello, this is Lois Kausch reading the Vermilion County News for Friday, November the 29th. And the first article has the headline, "It Breaks My Heart." Dateline Dan Mill. A Georgetown woman is raising money to help five local families this holiday season because she believes in helping people in purposeful ways. We're on this earth for something bigger than ourselves, Leslie Sconce said. Sconce, who is an office specialist for Danville Area Community College's Corporate and Community Education Division, started raising money last month for the family of DACC Presidential Scholar Rachel Tu, whose mother, Juvie, is fighting stage 4 cancer. Rachel is our student worker, and her father, Andy Tu, was a security guard out here at the mall, Scon said, explaining her relationship to the family. Rachel's parents came to America from the Philippines for a better life, Scon said. They came here because Juvie got a nursing job at the Hawthorne Inn. Her mother beat cancer once, and now it's spread. They thought it was in remission because the markers were so low, but in reality, it has metastasized, and now it's stage 4, and it's in her liver and her lungs, she said. We truly miss her being at Hawthorne Inn, Amy Lockwood Thompson, Director of Marketing and Public Relations at Liberty Village, said. Many of our staff members continue to stay in touch with her. Through her first time battling cancer, she continued to work and never complained about what all she was going through, Lockwood Thompson said of Tu. She's definitely one of the most compassionate and caring nurses I've ever worked with. Her dedication to her patients is truly admirable. I truly believe her positive attitude will help her beat this horrible disease, she added. Sconce added that Juvie has remained upbeat throughout her battle, but also has been making final preparations for her family. She started chemotherapy November 20th, but her big bucket list was to bring her mom here so she could see her one last time. Juvie just started chemo last week, and she's the glue that holds the family together, she said. My heart was breaking because all Juvie wanted was her mom. Sconce asked Rochelle and her family for permission to start a GoFundMe campaign in October to raise $7,000 to bring Juvie's mom to the United States and cover her travel expenses. We raised close to about half of that amount, she said, of the initial fundraiser. They have been getting money from their church and others, too. Rochelle's grandma has her visa and her plane ticket to the U.S. and is from the U.S. Embassy in the Philippines, Scott said. We hope a family friend can accompany her to the United States because she doesn't speak English. Sconce reinvigorated her efforts November 15th with a Facebook fundraiser for the Tu family and added four more local families in need. She hopes to raise a total of $5,000 with that campaign. There are so many people that are in need, she said. Life seems to have a way of breaking people down. It breaks my heart. These are all wonderful people who need a helping hand, and what better time than at the holidays, she added. The additional four people in need include Paula Jones Gomez, a 1989 Georgetown Ridge Farm High School graduate who is diabetic, blind, and has lost a leg and needs a new shower installed, and other construction projects to make her home handicapped accessible. An elderly diabetic woman who needs a furnace, a young Danville man who lost his job after being involved in an accident, and another family who doesn't have a whole lot. And needs financial help during the holidays. For three of the families, it's going to be a surprise, Scon said. They don't know we're raising money for them. Aware that some people might be a little reluctant to donate to a social media-based fundraiser, Sconce has organized a couple other opportunities in the community to collect donations on Saturday, December 7th. She enlisted the help of her daughter, Megan Jennings, who is home on Thanksgiving break from Eastern Illinois University, to help make craft items to sell at the Winter Farmers Market that will take place from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, December 7th, at the First Presbyterian Church, 100 North Franklin Street, Danville. The mother and daughter artists will decorate class cookie plates and create cookie cutter wreaths, wooden signs with inspirational messages, and ornaments to sell at the farmer's market. 100% of the proceeds will go to the five families, Scott said, of the sale of craft items. Following the farmer's market, a chili supper, bake sale, and silent auction will take place from 3 to 7 p.m. that Saturday at the Tew Families Church, Danville Alliance Church, 2509 North Bowman Avenue. The pastor there jumped on board with this, she said. People from the church are baking things for the bake sale. Laura Hensgen, who is Director of Community Education and Video Development at DACC, Sconce, and members of the church, will make the chili for the event. Peanut butter sandwiches, tea, and coffee also will be served. Bids will be accepted on silent auction items, which include gift cards to the Village Mall, a handbag, and a couple of gift baskets filled with roasted and candied nuts throughout the chili supper until 7 p.m. Okay, and now another article with the headline, Holiday Event to Benefit Students. Shoppers can browse a number of vendors at DHS. Dateline Danville, a holiday shopping event at Danville High School will benefit a student group that hopes to make a difference in the community. Vendors are still needed for the Countdown to Christmas event set for 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, December 4th, in the DHS Fieldhouse. Vendor booths cost $30 for one spot and $55 for a double booth. All proceeds from the event will go to the fund to fund the DHS Future Problem Solvers Project PAWSE, that's People Against Wrongful Surrender, promoting safe and humane surrender of pets. For their project this year, the FPS team is working with area humane societies to install small animal safe haven hutches and to educate the community on the importance of safely relinquishing animals to a shelter. DHS's building and construction classes are building the hutches. We have to find a way that's feasible to protect the animals, said DHS math teacher Lori Woods, who is the advisor for both FPS and the Freshman Sophomore Student Council. If you want the shelters to accept more animals, we have to help support them, she said. Shoppers are encouraged to bring pet food and pet supplies to the event for the DHS Student Council's Giving Tree, which is the central location where all of the DHS clubs will place their donations to be distributed to various community organizations, such as the St. James United Methodist Church's Food Pantry and the Vermilion County Animal Shelter. Whatever they do to help will support the fight against the abandoned animal issues in the area, Woods said of the pet supply donations. More vendors are being sought for the holiday shopping event. We are still looking for vendors, DHS Principal Tracy Cherry said. I have a core of vendors I rely on, but there is room for more. Some of the direct sales vendors already lined up include Origami Owl, Paparazzi, Rada Cutlery, Scentsy, and Young Living Essential Oils. Although we want to get as many vendors as we can because we want to have a lot of variety so people can get their last minute shopping wrapped up, Cherry said. We are looking for vendors who are looking to kick off their business. In addition to the vendors, the FPS group is organizing a holiday bake sale, door prize giveaway, and drawing. We will have hot tea, coffee, and a hot chocolate bar, Woods said. The FPS students will be doing an old-fashioned bake sale. Woods is seeking local businesses to donate gift cards for the fundraising event. We're looking for donations of gift cards so we can make gift card wreaths, she said. Cherry, who is the new DHS principal this year, said she hopes the event will help showcase the high school and build a relationship with the public. We have the facilities here to hold the event, she said, and we're trying to make that connection through our students and open our doors to bring the community into our building. And now for the obituaries. And the first is for Shirley Ann Johnson. Who was born on November 30th, 1938. There is no more information here than that. The next is for Janice M. Stahl of Vetersburg, Indiana, who died on November 24, 2019. Visitation will begin at noon Eastern Time and continue until the funeral service at 2 p.m. Friday, December 6th at Dickinson Funeral Home, 303 North Main Street, Vetersburg. Burial will follow at Rock Field Cemetery. Services will be officiated by Pastor Timothy W. Lyons. In lieu of flowers, contributions in Janice's memory, may be made to the Alzheimer's Association, P.O. Box 96011, Washington, D.C. 20090. And the third of the obituaries is for Wilma Jean Houston, 94, of Westville, Illinois, who died on Tuesday, November 26, 2019. A celebration of Wilma's life will be at 12:30 p.m. Saturday, November 30th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Westville, 414 South State Street, Westville. Officiating will be Pastor David Leary. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Saturday at the funeral home. Burial will follow the service at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Memorials may be made in Wilma's name to Westville American Legion for their honor guard or Cancer Center at OSF in Danville. And now we'll go back to the news articles. And this one has the title, Municipal Band Provides Musical Mixture. Dateline Danville, a blend of holiday and summer favorites will entertain guests at Sunday's Danville Municipal Band Concert. The free concert will be at 7 p.m. Sunday in the sanctuary of St. James United Methodist Church. It will last about an hour. It's a great kickoff to the holiday season, said Mark Lindvall, who plays trumpet in the band. It will be a nice mix of Christmas and good concert band music that's fun to play and fun to listen to. Lindvall, music director at St. James, noted that, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, he's thankful for great music that's available to people in the area. He's also thankful to sponsor Full Fill Industries in Henning for its gift of a free concert. Band director David Schroeder said sponsorship forms will be available Sunday so the band can extend its summer season beyond the six concerts sponsored by the city. Each performance is about $2,500. Organizations or a group of individuals may consider helping the band to present more concerts. Various levels of tax-deductible donations will be accepted. The sponsorship forms are on the band's Facebook page as well. The band also hopes to look into getting grants. About 45 musicians will perform at Sunday's concert. It will open with Christmas Classics, a holiday fanfare by James Curnow, former assistant director of bands at the University of Illinois. The next selection will be On This Day, Earth Shall Ring, the first movement of a larger piece called Winter Suite by British composer Gustav Holst. After some other numbers, the band will perform a medley from the Polar Express. The concert will close with an arrangement of Silent Night based on Chip Davis's Mannheim Steamroller version. Schroeder said the concert is nice for the musicians as it gives them a chance to perform off-season. This helps shorten the time between the last summer concert and next June. He added, "We're always very grateful that St. James opens its facilities to us and to the community." Donations to the band, one of the oldest in Illinois, will be used for trailer maintenance, instrument repairs, buying new music and chairs, and other expenses. And the next is from Westville, and it doesn't have a title. The 43rd year of Santa's Anonymous is well underway. Toy collection barrels have been placed at Judith Giacoma School, Westville American Legion Post 51, Landmark Credit Union, Dollar General, Casey's, Subway, Westville City Hall, Westville High School, CVS, Westville Junior High School, Toy Barrel, Robinson Chiropractic, hats, caps, scarves, gloves, and mittens, and MS Salon, caps, hats, scarves, gloves, and mittens. Santa's Anonymous accepts new and used toys, batteries, wrapping paper, and tape. Cash donations also will be accepted. And the next article has the headline, Westville Man Involved in Fatal Crash. Benton County, Dateline Benton County, Indiana. Heavy rainfall likely contributed to a fatal accident Tuesday in rural Indiana. Natalie Ramos, 18, of Reynolds, Indiana, was driving a white 1997 GMC Jimny eastbound on Indiana Route 352 when police said she failed to yield to an orange 2019 Volvo driven by Matthew Weiss, 40, of Westville, pulling a 2006 Great Dane trailer. Ramos was struck by Weiss's vehicle on the passenger side. Both the Jimny and the semi came to rest on the east shoulder of U.S. Route 41, north of the intersection. Ramos, who appeared to not be wearing a seatbelt, according to a press release from the Indiana State Police, was thrown into the median. Her injuries were too severe to survive the crash, the release stated. Weiss was not injured. U.S. 41 northbound was closed for about 4 hours while emergency personnel attended to the injured. The roadway was cleaned up and the crash was reconstructed. Assisting at the scene were troopers from the Lafayette Post, ISP Reconstruction Units, ISP Commercial Vehicle Enforcement Division, Benton County Sheriff's Department, Benton County EMS, Boswell Fire Department, Bennett's Towing, and the Benton County Coroner's Office. The investigation is ongoing, and an editorial with the headline, Remember to Shop Small This Holiday Season. Small businesses set our communities apart. You can find the same chain restaurants and the big box retailers throughout the state. It's the small businesses that give our communities character. It doesn't matter whether it's your favorite sit-down restaurant, a hot dog stand, bike shop, or a hardware store. Small local businesses make visiting our cities unique. They're run by local people who know that if they don't provide great customer service or create a superior shopping experience, they won't be in business long. Shopping at a local small business is something you should do all year long. If, however, you don't know much about your local small business scene, Saturday is the day to check it out. So, Small Business Saturday, sandwiched between Black Friday and Cyber Monday, was created by American Express in 2010 to help small businesses get more exposure during the holiday shopping season. It's worked well. According to the results of the Small Business Saturday Consumer Insight Survey conducted by the National Federation of Independent Business and American Express, 104 million customers spent $17.8 billion at small independent businesses on Small Business Saturday in 2018. 70% of American adults are aware of Small Business Saturday. And of those who said they shopped small on the day last year, 42% reported shopping with family and friends at independently owned businesses, and 83% reported encouraging others to also shop or dine small. A separate survey found that small business owners expect an average of 29% of their total annual sales to take place during the holiday shopping season. The impact small businesses have on our communities goes well beyond our shopping needs. Small businesses are big economic engines, especially in Illinois. The Illinois Policy Institute found businesses with fewer than 50 employees created 83% of new jobs in Illinois during 2017, while businesses with more than 250 employees cut more than 1,000 jobs. Nationally, 60% of new jobs were created by small businesses. Small businesses employ 58.9 million, or 47.5% of all private sector employees. Companies with fewer than 20 employees showed the biggest growth in 2015 by adding 1.1 million net jobs, according to the Small Business Administration. Small businesses produced 16 times more patents per employee than larger patenting firms, according to the Small Business Administration. Small businesses account for 43% of high-tech employment. local small businesses create jobs and recirculate money back into the community. Surveys consistently show that for every dollar you spend at an independent local business, more of that money stays in your community than if you spent that buck with a national business. About 48% of what you spend at a local business is recirculated into the community. A chain store circulates less than 14%. It's even more for local restaurants, 65% to 30%. Anyone hungry? Healthy communities depend on healthy economies, and small businesses are the backbone of local economies. Small Business Saturday coincides with the Old State Capitol Holiday Walks this Saturday. Other local communities are holding their own events. Most of us have just started to think about Christmas shopping, and there are people on our list for whom we have no clue what to buy. But we'll probably find that special gift at a locally owned small business. And now an editor's note. A version of this editorial ran in the November 23, 2018 edition of the State Journal Register. Some statistics have been updated to reflect this year's numbers. And now a news article from Springfield. A group of environmental experts Tuesday issued a report calling for renewed investment in the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, saying it has been cut in recent years and needs more resources as the federal government rolls back protections. A spokeswoman for the administration of Governor J.B. Pritzker said the state EPA is working to boost hiring and effectively enforce regulations. The Illinois EPA has an incredibly important job to protect public health and the environment in the state, and the job has gotten a lot more difficult in the last couple of decades, said Mark Templeton, a report author and director of the Abrams Environmental Law Clinic at the University of Chicago Law School. In a conference call with reporters, he said resources have fallen or not kept pace with challenges facing the agency. Almost every day, he added, we hear about rollbacks from the Trump administration at the federal level, and if we're going to have protection on those key public health and environmental issues, it means that the state is going to have to step up. Two of the other authors of the report were former EPA directors Mary Gade and Doug Scott. Among statistics in the report called Protecting the Illinois EPA's Health So That It Can Protect Ours is that agency headcount fell from 1,265 in 2003 to 639 in 2018. It also states Illinois is one of only three states where its environmental agency receives no yearly appropriations from the state's general fund. Gade said the report is a wake-up call and a call to action. In addition to high-profile pollution-caused events, she said, she is concerned about, quote, the less visible, steady drumbeat of accumulating health impacts day to day on Illinois families from air, water, and land that isn't as clean and safe as it needs to be. No matter how dedicated, hardworking, or committed the IEPA staff is, and I can assure you it is, it cannot possibly do everything being asked, close quote. She also said newer technology is needed for better monitoring and that business also benefits with adequate IEPA staff by getting timely permits and fair and even-handed enforcement. Among recommendations in the report are to increase fees on polluters and to consider other new sources of revenue like plastic bottle or bag fees or stormwater fees. A statement from the state EPA said it appreciates the report's acknowledgement of some of the challenges faced by the state government regulators. And now, with the headline, Unease on the Farm Dims Outlook for Deer in 2020. Deer's profit during the fourth quarter dropped 8% and it issued a weak forecast for 2020 as U.S. trade disputes and bad weather squeeze its biggest customer, the American farmer. It's the first time that the manufacturer laid out its expectations for next year, and it sent shares down almost 4% at the opening bell. The company expects sales of agriculture and turf machinery to slide 5% to 10% compared to this year, and sales of construction and forestry equipment to fall 10% to 15%. That outlook, the company said, reflects slowing construction activity, which has been an area of strength. John Deere's performance reflected continued uncertainties in the agricultural sector, said CEO John May. Lingering trade tensions, coupled with a year of difficult growing and harvesting conditions, have caused many farmers to become cautious about making major investments in new equipment. Quarterly profits were $722 million, or $2.27 per share. Adjusted per share earnings were $2.14, a penny better than expected, according to a survey by Zacks Investment Research. Adjusted revenue was $8.7 billion, also better than expected. Annual revenue rose 5% to $39.26 billion. But it was overshadowed by the first peak into 2020. The Moline, Illinois company said Wednesday that it expects to book profits of between $2.7 billion and $3.1 billion. That would be less than the $3.25 billion it made this fiscal year, even if it reaches the high end of its guidance. Farmers have pulled back on buying machinery with much uncertainty about what comes next in the trade war between U.S. and China, the world's two biggest economies. Farmers in the Midwest and South, whose planting this year was interrupted by wet weather, got a break in the fall, though a few northern states have seen harvest prospects go from bad to worse. Early rain and snow in Minnesota and the Dakotas hampered an already difficult harvest. Deere has focused on factors it can control, and May said despite a tough environment right now, the longer-term outlook for the company is healthy. We are committed to the successful execution of our strategic plan and have initiated a series of measures to create a leaner organizational structure that can operate with more speed and agility, May said in a prepared statement. And now an opinion column from Froma Harrop with the headline, GOP Targets the Military. The focus here isn't President Donald Trump. He is a creature unto himself. Rather, this is about his spineless political party, which stands mute or even supportive as he breaks U.S. military discipline, morale, and leadership. The GOP used to be the party of super patriots, always saluting our men and women in uniform. It's still play acts. Some members of the Republican caucus continue to make a show of thanking soldiers for their service, even as they savage the soldiers' reputations to advance the president's interests. Someday we'll get to the bottom of what those interests really were. Navy Secretary Richard Spencer has just been fired. Ignore the convoluted explanations for his termination. In the end, Spencer was dismissed for having openly opposed Trump's perverse move to reverse the judgments on three service members accused or convicted of war crimes. The decisions were all reached within the military justice system. Trump's method of attack on the nation's military includes, to use a gender-specific term, the emasculation of them. Consider his decision to suddenly pull nearly all U.S. troops out of Syria without consulting General Joseph Votel, then commander of military operations in the Middle East. That's as far as I can read for today. I look forward to reading to you again next week. This has been Lois Pausch reading the Vermilion County News for Friday, November 29th.